Just wanted to add a few thoughts about John the Baptist. Some of us are intentionally going through Advent with rituals around chocolate or nativity scenes. And it's interesting to note that the first baby in the Christmas story is John and not Jesus. And John is one of these colorful characters that we really don't know what to do with sometimes. Later on in the Bible, there's a story where Jesus is talking with a group, and they're talking about who was John, what was John's legacy. What was John's legacy? And the conclusion is that Jesus says, yes, John was a prophet. John's voice was prophetic. John spoke for God. John was a prophet. This week, we've learned about the passing of Nelson Mandela. And so, in the aftermath, news commentators are discussing what is the legacy of of Nelson Mandela. What has he said that was meaningful to us? What are the impact of his actions in this world? And so, I'm going to sort of parallel these two men just for a little bit. Nelson Mandela offered a prophetic voice in a number of ways. If you haven't seen the movie Invictus, I invite you to look into that movie. It has some Hollywood language in it, so you need to sort of filter that through the regular channels. But Invictus is a perfect movie in a group setting because it has a drama and serious moments that will fit a certain segment of the population, and it has big muscular guys trying to hurt each other, which fits another segment of the population. But in this movie, there's a story of when South Africa hosted the World Rugby Championships. And rugby in South Africa had traditionally been a white sport. And Nelson Mandela wanted to rally the country around this white team. And so there's a lot of different ways that he did that by integrating things. But it talked about how Nelson offered a prophetic voice in two different ways. In a very divided country, he told the white man, the black man beside you is no worse than you are. You are no better than the black man. And when the black men came into power, he turned to them and said, the white man is no worse than you are. You are no better than they are. And so he tried to form a nation of equals, men and women, whites and blacks, equal in the eyes of God. Now, we can talk about how far he got and how much work more needs to be done, but there is a prophetic voice being offered there. John the Baptist and Nelson Mandela also had a utopian view, and I spoke last week about a utopia and how that informs the way that we behave. John the Baptist talked about a utopia. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. And you need to prepare yourselves for when this kingdom comes. Nelson Mandela also talked about a utopia. He talked about a South Africa where whites and blacks were equal. And this wasn't a South Africa that many people could believe in. It wasn't a South Africa that existed except for in the minds of Nelson Mandela and people like him. They also shared an imprisonment in common. And from the imprisonment of John the Baptist, we can get the message that things will not always be easy. As much favor as John the Baptist had in the eyes of God and in the eyes of Jesus, things didn't end well for John the Baptist. You can read what happens to him down the road, but John the Baptist spoke against the powers that be, and it cost him his life. That is sometimes the cost that we have to pay to speak against evil forces. Well, Nelson Mandela was in prison for 27 years, something that we probably have heard often this week. And while he was in prison, the white government forces did as much as they could to discredit everything that he had done. And oftentimes they thought they had quieted his movement, but they had not. Nelson Mandela, in his autobiography, A Long Walk to Freedom, tells a story of how while he was in prison, The government wanted to disbar him. They wanted to remove his accreditation as a lawyer. This is something that he had studied and worked at during his freedom. And they wanted to take this away as one more way of discrediting him. But there was a legal process in place, and Mandela knew this very well, and so he took the steps to defend himself. And he was fully entitled to legal process, to access to legal resources, to voicing his self-defense. And the government was putting barriers in place. They said, no, hire a lawyer to do that for you. That'll all be taken care of. You don't need to worry about that. But Mandela writes, what they wanted to do was quiet his voice. Because every legal step that he would take, every opportunity that he would take to defend himself would be public, or could be made public, which would discredit the government forces that were wanting to silence him. And so there was enough resistance, enough shame being brought back onto the government that they eventually dropped the case. And he maintained his credentials throughout his imprisonment. But one connection I want to draw out a little bit more is the wilderness. The wilderness. The utopia is the perfect place that we're striving to get to, we're trying to bring to this earth. The wilderness is in many ways the opposite of that. John the Baptist lived in a literal wilderness. He lived out of the town. He lived among the trees and among the desert and whatever you imagine the wilderness to be, that's where John the Baptist lived. But the wilderness in the Bible is a place of chaos and disorder. And so while it was a literal place, prophets often put themselves in situations to paint a picture to the society of what was happening. And so John the Baptist lived in the wilderness as a way of telling the people there is chaos and disorder in this land. And we need to right it. We need to fix it before the king comes. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make straight the road for him. That is the call that he made, saying there is disorder. And there was disorder in South Africa. And I don't need to elaborate on what was happening there, but there was disorder, there was inequality, and there was injustice. But the story of John the Baptist's wilderness isn't just a political story about Palestine. It isn't just a parallel that we can put to injustices in our current society, which we can do. But it is also a parallel to your life. Your life sometimes is a wilderness. There is disarray. There is disorder in your life. And I don't have to have a prophetic voice to know this. There is disorder in my life, in my family. It creeps in when you're not looking. There is disorder. And so John the Baptist's call to make a path for the Lord, to whatever your translation says, this is a call for you, not just for first century Palestine. This is a call for you to make right, to make orderly your life, to prepare a place for when God is coming. We are journeying towards Christmas. We are taking steps towards Bethlehem town. And as we do that, this isn't just a matter of time passing. This isn't just a matter of accumulating the things that we need for the events around Christmas. This is a matter of removing the disorder and the chaos that is inside each one of us and making a room, making a road for the Lord to come into our lives, to bring order, to bring love. So as we journey towards Christmas, let us do that. Let us make room for Christ to come into our lives.